We must make a practice of exposing ourselves to the beauty of the natural world with its changing cycles. And we do this in order to appreciate and to grow, to appreciate rather the growth that we experience in our own lives through the cycles that we go through. If you live in the neighborhood, sometimes you'll find me walking around. In fact, I walk around quite a bit. I live just behind the church in what is known as the Pelham Historic District. And it's a place that has really gorgeous, gorgeous homes. They're symphonies in stone, wood, and glass. And I love to go and admire them. And sometimes I even go onto the side streets and marvel at the more modest homes. Because there I find that what they lack in square footage, they make up for in exuberant pocket gardens. These row houses and twins offer up oases of daisies, tiger lilies, and my favorite, the sunflower. One time, while I was walking around the neighborhood, I stopped by one such pocket garden, and I noticed that it had a raised bed of native purple cone flowers, what we know as echinacea. And there was a swarm of monarch butterflies going in between all of the flowers. Butterflies are amazing. They inspire me. When I see a butterfly, I think of lightness. I think of being airy. They make a practice of finding only the best flowers. And I would like to make a practice of finding only the best flowers, of appreciating and thereby nourishing myself on beauty. I'm inspired by the butterfly's strength, their strength to make the 1,000-mile journey from Canada to Mexico every year. I'm inspired by their ability to change, to take on new forms and new ways of being. I am inspired by metamorphosis, the ancient Greek word meaning to change physical form, structure, and substance, especially by what seems like a supernatural way. Butterflies are supernatural, and I believe that by observing them, we might find clues on how to live this life that we have been given. If we could simply love the butterfly and pay loving attention to its path and appreciate its life cycles, we might come to fully appreciate the processes of change that we must undergo as we grow into the fullness of our own humanity. Unitarian Universalists face an ever-present challenge. And that challenge is learning to appreciate each phase of our own life. We have no problem as individuals and as a community embracing the best changes. We are doers and movers and shakers, and we make things happen, or at least we believe that we do, and we take pride when it appears that we have done so. We UUs are conformist, in the sense that we believe that at all times we can make reality conform to our will and behave appropriately. We appreciate the good phases when we are at the helm of the ship, fully capable and fully able, and then we retreat when it appears that we have entered into uncharted waters. Change is always a disruption, yet it always has some beauty in it. And to perceive a change, whether tragic or transformational, means that we are alive to experience it. We must be alive to experience joy and sorrow. We must be alive to know that transformation is possible. As a people of faith, we must be deliberate and making a practice of going out and experiencing the cycles and the seasons and the phases of an ever-changing world. And by that, I actually mean stepping outside of our doors and maybe into the pocket garden or the backyard or down the street or in the park or elsewhere. We must explore for ourselves the beauty of unseen hands in the form of air, earth, flora and fauna, water, fire, and the countless elements that conspire to create this perceptible universe. We have to go out and see the world. Our congregations covenant to be places, and by covenant I mean promise, to be places that encourage and support the individual in a responsible search for truth and meaning. This is our fourth UU principle. And we might find that truth sometimes flying on the back of a butterfly, visiting a purple coneflower. But where else might we go? Where might we encounter the beauty of change? Lisa and Harry are a couple, and they drive up to New England every summer. They've done this for years. They spend a week and a few days on the coast, making a point of visiting old college friends, work colleagues, and family members who live nearby. And in the town that they visit, they often make their way to a narrow pedestrian strip that runs, it's a path that runs along rocky cliffs along the bay. Lisa and Harry spend hours walking along the path, pausing from time to time. They look out in silence onto the rocks and the sea, this vast and seemingly endless horizon. Harry is a bit of an amateur geologist. He knows about the rocks, both the rocks that we can see and the rocks under the sea. He knows that while they are solid, they are also growing and changing before his eyes. You see, these rocks were once sand and mud that formed layer upon layer over the course of millions of years at the bottom of a shallow prehistoric sea. He knows that those sedimentary rocks were then transformed again by the heat deep under the earth, taking on new and unexpected shapes and colors. He knows that where he and Lisa stands, there was once a vast sheet of ice nearly a mile thick above them that covered the place where they are now and this whole continent. He knows that that vast glacier carved out this wild and beautiful place long, long ago. But even without knowing all of this, Harry and Lisa can turn to each other after their moment of silence and, as if on cue, say to each other, "Isn't this lovely? Isn't this lovely?" One doesn't need to drive 6 hours to New England to see the rocky coastline, to appreciate the natural world and experience all of its lessons of change. Oftentimes, that golden ticket to the natural world will admit us to places far closer to home. Because the butterflies surround us, imparting as they go lessons on transformation to hearts and ears that are open to hear it. As we heard in the story for all ages, the process that turns a caterpillar into a butterfly is beautiful and deliberate at every stage. Each stage has its own special challenge and its own special opportunity. For instance, how does that caterpillar overcome the challenge of getting enough food for all of the growth that it needs to undertake? How does it avoid the predators? How does it take in the special opportunities to delight in shedding off its skin each time it grows? And slinking around a green and sun-dappled world between the tree branches. At the chrysalis stage, the caterpillar suspends itself from that single web. Yet there, too, there are challenges and opportunities. And then once inside of its chrysalis, there, more challenges, more opportunities. Its once fleshy self is obliterated, turned into a goo. And that goo is still yet another step on its process of transformation. Its butterfly parts, its wings, its antennae, legs, its butterfly tongue, all come out of this goo, this slime. In the tight confines of its chrysalis, it finds rest and regeneration. It also finds uncertainty and destruction. At this stage, there are risks there too. It could be injured. It could be eaten. It could die and never even see the face of its killer. And then, but not finally, is the fourth stage, where it comes out of its shell, out of its chrysalis. It unfurls and inflates its wings, using some of that leftover goo that was itself to inflate its wings and fly away. The metamorphosis is complete. And while the butterfly flies away in search of food, in search of a mate, in search of feeling the wind beneath its wings, even there, at that final stage, there are challenges and opportunities. Perhaps that butterfly might someday land on a purple coneflower somewhere in Pelham and find itself the subject of a sermon. But its story would hardly end there. Butterflies are just one of the limitless ways that the natural world conspires to teach us to count our days and to savor each stage of our life. Walt Whitman once said in the epic poem, Song of Myself, that you must habit yourself to the dazzle of the light and the dazzle of every moment of your life. Every moment has a bit of dazzle in it, and in the stillness, sometimes we can find it. We might look up sometime, even past the highways of the butterflies, and see the clouds. And in their cycle, there is a lesson for us as well. Remember well that we were once clouds too. Thich Nhat Hanh says, I am still a cloud. I am the river, I am the air, at this very moment. At this very moment, all of us are changing into new, more complex, more rich, more beautiful forms, year by year and decade by decade. And in this evolutionary process, we take on and reveal elements of the past and the future in our present living. The butterfly still carries its caterpillar and its chrysalis self. The cloud recalls being a stream, and the morning dew, and the dust suspended in the air. Nature and transformation, those things that are in the cloud, are our own nature and our own transformations. And observing the natural world reminds us that we are participants in an eternal process of change and evolution. Charles Darwin once said that all organic beings which live on this earth have descended from some one primordial form into which life was first breathed by the Creator. Perhaps it began with a cloud some billions of years ago. We are what Thich Nhat Hanh would say is a happy continuation. Life's yearning for expression in diverse shapes and forms. And no matter what our technological abilities may be as individuals, we can instantaneously download that wisdom directly from the cloud or the butterfly, anywhere on this planet. So go out there, see the butterflies, look up at the clouds, and remember that all of us are simply works in progress. We forget this truth at our own peril. These days, we are bombarded by streams of information from all over, most of it purposely designed to shock and antagonize us, to heighten our sense of anxiety, loneliness, our finiteness in this world. That text message that we receive letting us know that a loved one has died suddenly. Another video of a person of color dying in police custody under dubious circumstances. An article that reports the bombing of a marketplace overseas by a suicide bomber. Another mass shooting by a lone gunman. Another mass shooting by a lone gunman. Another mass shooting by a lone gunman. We need to make a choice about our job, and it might involve us moving away from the community that we love. The lab test results have come back with more questions than answers. And it goes on and on like this until we remember that even here, there is a possibility of metamorphosis. Even here, the clouds move buoyantly in the heavens, and the butterfly makes her circuit from flower to flower. Change is beautiful. These things will come to pass, and they will pass. These, too, are steps in our growth as individuals, families, communities, and nations. Each situation, and these are specifically painful situations, invite us into a dialogue, into a search, and a choice. Will it be isolation or connection? Will it be resistance or acceptance? Will it be growing pains or death? I want for all of us to choose life, to choose to step out of that fantasy of permanence and into our reality of growth. We must remember to go out and encounter the world, to be reminded of all of the transformative processes that occur in nature and that occur in us. When we stop growing, we stop living. So let us go out with renewed attention and appreciation. We can start by joining the Sunday mindfulness as they go to the grove to walk in silent meditation. We can celebrate the changing of the seasons with the Earth Honoring Traditions group right here in the church. We can resurrect our green sanctuary to hold all of us accountable for this earth, which has so much to teach us. We can walk along the rocky coast, or simply take time to appreciate the purple coneflowers and his winged visitors. Appreciate the natural world. Fight to preserve it for future generations because it has an intelligence to give us in our search for truth and meaning. So go out, keep on going, go further still, go all the way towards enlightenment. Hooray for the beauty of the earth and the wisdom of change. May it be so, and amen.